Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. Adam Azer, Scott White, now Melchior. We're going to talk about some September call-ups. Big deal? Small deal? Medium deal?
I don't think it's going to be a September to remember.
You don't think so?
Nah.
What about Jock Peters?
What about him? He's a good player, good prospect. I'm too loud, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. Not anymore, though.
Okay.
That's on me. We got the mic check.
Yeah.
Well, we like Jock Peterson.
I do.
Yeah. No, we definitely do. How much is he going to play? Is he going to be good to start out his career even when he does play?
Right.
Are you really making a move for him right now? 12-team league, I'm not.
Me neither. But, you know, this has been sort of a rolling list we've been putting together, and there's a name not on here because as of an hour ago, I didn't think he was going to be that relevant this month, but the Marlins are going to call up Andrew Heaney again.
Oh, all right.
And Alvarez might be out a while with this injury he sustained on Sunday. So he suddenly becomes, for me, maybe the most impactful September call-up.
How about that? All right, the big news, and we'll get to the call-ups later. We'll talk about Matt Holliday. He's been red hot. Gio Gonzalez had another good start. Mookie Betts. People like Mookie Betts right now. So we'll get to that. The White Sox, you know, seem very vague, but just reading the recap of the Chris Sale game over the weekend, they are considering shutting him down early. He's had some arm issues in the past, so it's something to keep an eye on, but very vague. Homer Bailey is out for the year with a strained flexor tendon in his elbow. You can drop him. Carlos Gomez sat yesterday with the wrist injury. It's Tuesday right now, so he sat on Monday. And he said he heard a pop, but now they're, like, downplaying it. So, what do you think?
Yeah. He said he heard a pop, but I don't know. I'm not under the impression it's all that serious. I would not be freaking out right now if I owned him.
Oh, thank you for that, then.
Yeah.
Scooter Jeanette, I'm not freaking out. I sat him. And the pop thing freaked me out, yeah. Scooter Jeanette did lead off, though, with him out. And that's, you know, that'll help. Jeanette's had, like, no such bad value since he got moved down in the order.
By the way, do you have internet right now? Is this just me?
Yeah, it's just you, loser.
Oh.
Let me make sure.
Oh, you know what it is? I know what it is. Never mind.
Wait. No. Yeah, it is just you.
This is getting a little too inside CBS, but I know what it is.
See, we can actually say inside baseball on this podcast. Yeah. Use that expression.
Yeah.
Miguel Cabrera. I apologize to the guy on Twitter that I told to sit Miguel Cabrera for Mookie Betts. Because Cabrera went 4-for-5 with 2 home runs yesterday. He's got this ankle problem. He started at DH. Are you guys concerned about Cabrera? Can't move.
I was enough to sit him for Trevor, I can't remember his name now.
Was it Plouffe?
Yes, it was Plouffe.
You couldn't remember that?
I couldn't.
Such a common name.
See what happens when Scott doesn't have internet?
Exactly. I'm a mess. Been working on football for the last few hours, so excuse me.
No problem.
Yes, but I did. I sat him for Plouffe in one league, and then obviously he goes on to hit 2 home runs and drive in, what was it, 4? 3-run score. It was a monster game.
3 RBI, 4-run score.
Yeah, it was a monster game. And watching him hobble around the bases on his 2 home runs, I thought, should have known better. Should have known better. He's just a machine.
Yeah, but for, you know, to play devil's advocate, it was one of those games where Kluber didn't have it, but they hit 5 home runs yesterday, the Tigers.
Yeah.
I don't care. Nope. I mean, guy hits 2 home runs in a game.
Here's what I worry about, because clearly, yeah, he's shown that if Cabrera's going to play, he's capable of producing a lot. But I do worry it's a situation where he may sit 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're totally out of the woods yet.
September call-ups, guys. Andrew Heaney would be perhaps, would he be the number one?
For me, yeah. He's the guy I would actually consider picking up in a 12-team mixed league now.
How about you, Scott? Number one September call-up.
I'm kind of intrigued by Michael Franco. Not sure how much they're going to protect Cody Asche's playing time. I don't think there's anything to develop there too much. So it wouldn't surprise me if Franco did play regularly. And he had been, after a terrible start at AAA, he's been much better recently. So I could see him making an impact in leagues that shallow, or obviously anything deeper.
Well, let's include Gregory Polanco on the list, too. He's supposed to get called up today, okay. Right?
Yeah. Well, he'd be my favorite if he is getting called up.
Yeah. So let's go. Yeah.
There's one player on this list that I've actually made a claim for.
I'm going to go down the list one by one.
All right.
And I want you guys to tell me, quick reaction, what you expect from them and what types of leagues you would add them in.
All right.
Gregory Polanco.
Yeah, 12-team mixed. Roto for sure.
Yeah. The only question for me is, are they going to make him the everyday right fielder again? Because if they are, I thought he was must-start before he went down, so he'd be right back there for me.
Michael Franco.
Yeah, like I said, wait and see probably in standard mixed leagues, but if he does get regular playing time, he could be somebody to add quickly.
Taiwan Walker.
Yeah, it's kind of the same situation. If he's in the rotation, then I'm looking to add him certainly a 14-team mixed in deeper, maybe 12.
I had read that they are just planning long relief for him.
Yeah.
Him and Erasmo Ramirez, they were kind of grouped together.
Yeah.
So
that's the plan. I mean, he pitched very well in long relief yesterday. Chris Young was terrible.
Well, that's the thing. Young now two bad starts in a row. Roenis Elias, they've really been protecting his innings. So I could see the situation where Walker gets some starts.
Jock Peterson.
This is Jock Peterson.
It'd probably be like a 14-team, 5 outfielder league where I thought about him just in case maybe he has a big pinch hit at bat or something or a spot start and they're like, hey, this guy's better than Carl Crawford, and they keep running him out there. But I don't expect that to happen.
Terrence Gore.
This is the guy.
I don't even know who that is.
Royals prospect, and he's not really that much of a prospect. He hasn't really hit at all. But clearly, I think he's this year's Billy Hamilton.
Oh.
He's being called up for pinch running duties. He has, let's see, I had it pulled up here. He played just 17 games in AAA, 11 steals. And then the highest level prior to that this year was Advanced Class A. And again, didn't really produce there. No power, low batting average, but 36 steals in 89 games. So if you need steals, probably not going to bat enough to ruin you in other categories. But you get enough steals to help you.
All right, that is Terrence Gore. How about Corey Spangenberg? Started at third base for the Padres yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not convinced he's really a good enough offensive contributor to matter in a mixed league sense. NL only, sure, you could pick him up. I could see him getting more starts. But, he's just not a good enough power or speed guy, really, to make an impact.
Jasmeel Pinto.
I like him from earlier in the season.
Yeah.
I talked about him a lot, and I think he did pretty well when he was up previously. He showed some power, gets on base a good amount. The question for him, like a lot of these players, is playing time. Obviously, they have Vargas at DH now, Maurer at first, Suzuki. They still like him catching, so probably not going to add him, but I could see him being a second catcher, serviceable second catcher, if he gets more playing time than I'm expecting.
Brandon Finnegan.
Yep, 2014 first-round pick for the Royals, another Royal. And he may get some setup work right away. So in Holds Leagues, I don't think he's really going to have much value anywhere else, but in Holds Leagues, I think you can pick him up.
How about Carlos Rodon? Who's better in a Holds League, Finnegan or Rodon?
I'm guessing Finnegan's going to see more of those high-leverage situations. So I would give him the edge.
Jonathan Villar is up.
He's up, and Marwin Gonzalez is hurt right now. So Villar, like Gore, could give you some cheap steals, and he may actually play a bit. That it may or may not be a good thing.
Yeah, as I was going to say, if we get that 200 batting average.
Oh, you left a guy off.
Who?
Maybe you left him off on purpose.
No,
Marcus Semien.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was in the email thread.
Right.
Marcus Semien.
Yeah. He's not up yet, but numbers since...
Well, then it was on purpose.
It was it?
No.
Numbers since the All-Star break, .296 batting average, .416 on-base percentage, .553 slugging percentage. His overall numbers in the minors aren't going to look so great, but he's been on fire recently, and another guy who walks a lot, and definitely some power there, some speed too. And obviously they have an opening at second base that I don't think they've determined. Who are they starting there? It's not somebody who I see having near the upside of Carlos.
Well, I know I got his name wrong the last time we talked about it. Carlos Sanchez?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I could see Semien just becoming the starter there. And if he picks up where he left off in the minors, that could go well for fantasy owners.
Stat of the day number one. I didn't know this. Read it in the AP recap. So yesterday we had the combined no-hitter. Four Phillies pitchers no-hit the Braves. Did you know that the first combined no-hitter was in 1917? Babe Ruth started the game, and he walked the first Washington batter of the game, and then Babe Ruth was ejected.
That was not Denard Span, by the way.
No, because he didn't walk.
yeah, that's why.
Red Sox reliever Ernie Shore came in and threw a no-hitter after that. So that was a combined no-hitter. Did you know that?
I did not know that was the
first
cool one.
Pretty cool piece of trivia.
Yes.
Stat of the day number two. Jorge Soler, third player in the last 100 years with one extra base hit in each of his first five games in the majors. Last one to do it was Will Middlebrooks in 2012. So let's hope things go a little bit better for Soler.
Yes, and
this guy is batting like 600. He's crazy good right now. He's batting, he's 10 for 19, so not quite 600. Three home runs, four doubles in five games.
And he was crazy good in the minors, too. It kind of got overshadowed because same system as Chris Bryant. And because he missed a good few weeks at the beginning of the season with a hamstring injury, so the totals weren't quite there. But they moved him up the ladder really quickly, and he just kept putting up monster numbers, and here continues in the majors. So I'm inclined to believe he's starting caliber in fantasy already, and would just, if I owned him, three outfielder league, five outfielder league, I'm not sure it'd matter. I'd stick him in the lineup.
Okay, let's go through Monday's standouts. Who would you guys like to start with?
We'll talk a little bit about Chris Davis.
Yeah.
Because you have here in the notes a two-hit game, which
That's
is
right.
something of a rarity for him, and the power's been pretty steady. So, I mean, look, I know a lot of owners are probably long past the point of worrying about whether or not to bench him. They've just gone ahead and done it. But, if you've been resisting it, it seems like Davis could finally be turning the corner. I mean, look how long it took J.J. Hardy to...
But Hardy was at least hitting like...
Hitting for average, right.
Higher average than we would have expected.
Yeah.
Davis is batting 200. He's batting 193 right now with 24 home runs. Yeah, I think I'd be more encouraged if he were stringing some hits together, but been a lot of one-hit games with a homer, which is fine.
It's a former colleague of ours used to say a lot, baby steps.
Yeah. All right, that's fair. That's fair. He is still started in 86% of leagues, but I do think that's teams that have been eliminated.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's that high.
Because I just based on Twitter and emails and stuff, I know people are sitting him. So maybe coming around?
I think so. I'm encouraged.
Okay.
He's bought a little more time in my starting lineup.
Scott, your turn to nominate a player.
Okay. There's a couple I want to nominate that I know we're going to talk about later. So one, it doesn't look like we're going to talk about Adam Eaton. Did you have him in here?
No, sir.
No, you didn't. But here's what he's done in seven games since returning from injury. .429 batting average, four doubles, a triple, two steals. Again, that's seven games. I mentioned on Friday, I believe it was, how good Jose Abreu has been over his last 250 at-bats. He's been about a .350 hitter. Eaton, in his last 205 at-bats, .371.
Wow.
Yeah. With no home runs, so that's... I expected some home runs from him. He wasn't a complete non-factor for those in the minors, but good extra base pop, nine steals... relevant number of steals. But I think more than anything, just the on-base ability that we saw throughout his minor league career is beginning to show up in the majors in a way that maybe people haven't realized because he was so, lackluster to begin the year. I think based on the way he's come, he's returned here, swinging a hot bat still. He's somebody who deserves to be in your lineup pretty much regardless of matchups down the stretch.
Eaton... Or Soler?
Soler.
In a points league, I'm definitely going Eaton. In a roto league, it's a little tougher. I suppose Soler. But, you know, in a roto league, I have room to start both.
All right.
But I wouldn't downplay the steals part of that at all either, because those have been coming more frequently lately for Green.
Yeah.
Scoring a ton of runs.
Let's talk about Monday's standouts, including Gio Gonzalez. Gio Gonzalez, do you think he's a must start now?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's past the slump.
Yordano Ventura still going strong with, in his last six starts, a 2.61 ERA. A lot of walks, though. 21 walks, 37 strikeouts, and 38 innings. Mm-hmm. Is he a must start?
I don't know that I would have gone there with Gio, so just take my answer from that perspective. I don't know that he is, really. He would be a guy who I would absolutely start in a two-start week, but I would probably bench him for any other two-start pitcher who was worth rostering in a one-start week.
Yordano Ventura?
Yeah.
All right, and how about Mookie Betts? He's hitting the ball
pretty
well.
Yeah, he was one of the guys I wanted to talk about.
41% owned, Scott.
Right. So, last nine games, .333, two home runs, three doubles, three steals. So, that well-rounded stat line that he put up throughout the minors. But what's been most encouraging to me, that was nine games. Since he returned from the minors, which is an even longer stretch than that, nine walks to eight strikeouts. Yeah. Again, that's very much like what he did in the minors. His previous stint in the majors, where he didn't hit well at all, he had one walk that whole time. So one then, nine now, and he's hitting now as well. I think there's definitely a chance he's turned the corner here and become that well-rounded hitter. I don't even know how to... It's like Jose Altuve with power or something. I feel like that might be overstating it a little for this year, but I think he could be really good, and particularly... if it's a league where you have a middle infield spot, because he is second base eligible.
Would you drop Javier Baez for Mookie Betts?
No.
I wouldn't either.
No.
No.
Would you drop Colton Wong for Mookie Betts?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, any other standouts, guys?
Let's not stand out and just move.
Okay, let's do it. Injuries, news, and notes, part uno. The White Sox traded Adam Dunn in cash to Oakland for a minor league pitcher, Nolan Sandberg. And Dunn homered yesterday. Anyone
Sandberg.
Care?
I care mainly because. Whatever. I screwed it up. I screwed up the joke. I was going to talk about Sandberg and how it sounded like sunburn.
It does sound
like
it
took too long to get there, so forget it.
That's okay.
Forget it.
Matt
Adam
Garza
Dunn.
Is expected to start Wednesday against the Cubs. Still six man for now?
Six man for now, yep.
Jimmy Nelson's not doing much to help his cause.
No.
No.
Derek Holland's going to pitch today for Texas at Kansas City. Any interest?
Honestly, not. I think I've picked him up and dropped him on two separate occasions during the season when it seemed like he was on the verge of coming back. This time around, I haven't picked him up. Not. I usually don't put much stock at all in minor league rehab stats, but he was pretty wild.
Okay.
And I have to admit, it worries me a bit. So I'm taking the wait-and-see approach with Holland.
Eric Hosmer's off the DL. Houston fired Bo Porter. That wasn't nice.
Get along with his boss.
No, he didn't. And Tom Lawless is now the interim manager for the Astros.
Who will restore order, even though he is lawless.
Henderson Alvarez left yesterday's start with an oblique strain. He's day-to-day, but, you know, those are never good. And he's been pitching like garbage since he came off the DL.
It's
droppable?
It's a little strong.
It's garbage. It's garbage.
He's a garbage.
No, he's been pitching like garbage.
Okay.
Disagree?
Wasn't there a good start or two in there?
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, there's a fine line between garbage and just bad, you know?
It is subjective, I suppose.
But I think we're nitpicking, and we should move on to
there
the
was one good start. There was one good start. His first one off the DL was good.
I always thought it was a funny pun in the 90s when I'd hear a garbage song and say, this band is garbage.
You don't like them?
No, I like them.
Oh.
I just like the pun opportunity.
Yeah, it's good stuff, except you confuse people. Justin Masterson's been moved to the bullpen. Who's going into the rotation for St. Louis?
The leader in the clubhouse, so to speak, is Marco Gonzalez.
Ah, he had a nice start.
He did.
Over the weekend.
Heaney or Gonzalez, if they were both in their rotations, who would you rather have?
Heaney.
I agree.
Jed Lowry's off the DL. J.J. Hardy left yesterday's game with back spasms. Adam LaRoche day-to-day with a back injury. Michael Morris has a sore hip. It was kind of weird to look at the Giants-Rockies box score yesterday for the continued game.
Yeah.
And seeing, like, Kadir.
Right, exactly. I was like, Kadir's back?
Yeah, it's exactly
I had that reaction. And I was like, oh, no, he was there in May. Okay, I understand.
Let's see. Colton Wong had a pinch-hit homer yesterday. He was out of the lineup after hitting his head on Sunday. Desmond Jennings missed his fourth straight game with a knee injury. Pedro Alvarez has missed five in a row with a foot injury. Michael Wacha is targeting a mid-September return. Steve Pierce could be back soon from his abdominal injury. Anthony Rizzo has missed seven in a row with back tightness. And Coco Crisp was out with a neck injury. Is Crisp droppable?
Yeah, yeah. I'd be willing to drop him for Soler or Betts, who's probably much more widely available. Yeah.
Or Eaton.
Or Eaton, sure.
Let's go two up, two down, rotation. Oh, you guys are facing off in the Fantasy Baseball Today playoffs.
The spectacular playoffs.
Yeah.
Who do you think's going to win?
I think I'm going to win.
I think I'm going to win.
Well.
Because I did not sit Miguel Cabrera in that league.
Oh.
Thank goodness. You're
off to a good start.
Fortunately, I did start Corey Kluber.
Oh. Ooh, can we talk about Kluber? Well, he's been brought up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I couldn't help but notice Corey Kluber's innings are getting up there. So I didn't really think of him as a guy who was just up and coming last year because he's been kind of up and down for the last couple years, I feel like. I didn't really lump him in with that group of second-year starters who you got to watch out for the innings. But he only threw 159 and two-thirds last year, and he's already up to 195 and a third this year. So he's getting up to 40 innings, which is usually on the high end of how much teams want to see their pitchers increase from one year to the next. And I think looking over his whole minor league track record, the career high is only 160. So he's like in the territory where he probably should be shutting down. Haven't heard anything about the Indians shutting him down, so I don't think that's going to happen, but it could explain why he's been not so dominant his last three starts. Obviously, yesterday was just plain bad, but the previous ones...
Garbage.
No.
The previous ones were bad. Just kind of... still worth starting him, but just kind of shaky. Not what we were used to seeing from him.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up, so thank you for doing that. So that's in the rotation. We'll get to that in a moment. Two up, Matt Holliday and Denard Span. Matt Holliday is 7-for-10 with 3 home runs and 12 RBI in his last 3 games. And Denard Span is the number 15 outfielder in points leagues and number 22 in Roto this year. He went 2-for-5 with 2 home runs yesterday. He only has 4 on the year. But 27 steals, 10th most runs scored in baseball at 85. And since the All-Star break, Span's hitting 360. You guys want to talk about Holliday or Span?
I'll talk about Span.
I
think this is legit for him. He made early in the season, he had made some statement about, I can't remember, I think it was 30 steals, either 30 or 40. But even at 30, I would have thought, okay, it's a nice goal. Enjoy that. But, he's delivered there and legitimate doubles guy this year. And
must start.
He is a must start.
How about that?
Yep. He's been in my two obvious outfielders for several weeks now, and Matt Holliday has all year. I know maybe some people were worried by the power drought, but it's not looking like such a drought anymore. And I feel like he had a stretch like this last year, too, where he made up for a lot of lost power that had some people thinking he was finally regressing. He's 34 now, so he's getting close to that age where it's understandable, but he's not there yet. He's still a must-start fantasy option.
Two down. Austin Jackson went 0-for-4 yesterday. Entering yesterday's game, he was batting .265 with no home runs and 5 steals and with Seattle. So that was September 1st, or August 1st. So basically over the last month, Austin Jackson not even a top 50 outfielder with the Mariners. 77% owned, 57% started. Your thoughts?
I'm just not interested right now, and I'm trying to remember who I needed a replacement for. I think it was in our points league where Scott and I are facing off. It would be helpful if I could remember who I replaced. But the replacement that I decided on over Austin Jackson was Ben Revere, and this is a points league. Mm. I wasn't...
Three RBI yesterday. Take that, Miguel Cabrera.
Five RBI, wasn't it?
I don't know. He had a he had a bases clearing double.
So yeah.
So I'll
look it up.
Others?
I'll look it up. I think it was five, which gave him 20 on the season.
Right. Okay, yeah. I knew he came into the game with 15.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. How
about, so that just gives you...
Cause, that.
Yeah, because I mean, I wouldn't... Wasn't
good timing.
Enthused about picking up Revere in a points league. But that
but over Austin Jackson.
Yeah.
And the Mariners had good matchups this week, too. But toward the end of the week.
Yeah.
They get the Rangers rotation.
It was five for
five
Revere.
RBI.
Yep.
Chase Utley went 0-for-2 with two walks yesterday. He's still a top nine second baseman in fantasy, but he's slowing down. 221 with two doubles in his last 18 games.
Yeah.
It's actually a little bit lower than 221 now. It was 221 before the 0-for-2.
Right. I don't know that I'm really reacting to this. It's been the thing about Utley that you have to like is he stayed on the field this year.
Yeah.
Which hasn't been the case in several years, and he's continued to perform like a high-end fantasy second baseman, particularly in points leagues. So I think I'd just stick with him.
All right, rotation. You see, you wouldn't start Mookie Betts over him?
Ah, no. Can't see myself benching Utley for that.
Rotation time. We talked Kluber. How about Garrett Cole?
Disappointing.
Yeah, it was going so well.
Yeah, and I think it still could rest of season. But, you know, I thought that was a pretty good matchup for Cole and expected a little bit more. But, yeah, 6 1/3. It's you just like to see better stats than that 6 1/3. But
yeah, he gave up 5 runs after giving up a combined 4 earned runs on 8 hits in his previous 2 starts. Julio Teheran struggled a little bit yesterday and has just 11 strikeouts in 25 innings over his last 4 starts, including 3 strikeouts against the Phillies yesterday.
And that's a little worrisome, but to me it was the 4 walks and the low strikes thrown ratio that was a little more jarring for me. But by the same token, that's not something I really expect to last for Teheran. So he remains a must-start for me.
How about Zach Wheeler? Kind of like Yordano Ventura, numbers have looked pretty good, but the walks are fairly high.
You know,
he walked 2 yesterday. I don't know. They're not that high.
Yes, they're pretty high.
Yeah.
And you have his numbers in his last 11 starts here, 2.17 ERA, but 31 walks in 70 2/3 innings. That's still...
That's before yesterday's start.
Yeah, and that's still a head-scratcher. So I would probably treat him about the same way I do Ventura. Definitely the 2 start weeks. Maybe not the 1.
In 12 starts now, Wheeler's got a really good ERA, but he's only pitched 7 innings once.
Yeah.
He throws a lot of pitches.
Yeah.
And how about Phil Hughes, guys? He had a good start yesterday at Baltimore, 8 innings of 3 unearned runs.
Yep.
And he has now had good starts at the Yankees, at the Red Sox, at the Blue Jays, and at the Orioles. So he has conquered the AL East. Finally.
He's conquered everything except ERA, which leads me to believe I'm firmly on the side of Hughes should be even better than he's been.
Yeah,
now.
With that strikeout-to-walk ratio.
Yeah, and not giving up home runs anymore. The strike rate, Al's pointed this out, far and above any other, far and away better than any other starting pitcher in baseball, the percentage of strikes thrown.
And really, I think it was like his first 3 starts were really bad, something like that. And then after April... He's just been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a few stretches where he's given up runs, but like Scott said, all the indicators behind that look like this was something he was going to be able to recover from, and in fact, he has.
How about some fringy starting pitchers? Tell me if anybody here feels like a must-own to you. Jimmy Nelson, Chris Young, Jason Hamill, who's starting to pitch a little bit better lately, Ruby De La Rosa, Kevin Gausman, and that's it. Gausman, De La Rosa, Hamill, Chris Young, Jimmy Nelson.
None is a must-own for me. I think Gausman, you know, can be. This is the first start from Hamill out of what last 4 or 5 that have been good for him. This is the first one that's actually where the secondary numbers have looked really good. Yeah, Jimmy Nelson, I'm starting to sour on, and I'm really starting to worry about Chris Young. To the point where I started him this week because of the 2 starts, and I don't know if he's got any 2 start weeks coming up the rest of the season, but. I'm not sure how much I can trust Young at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree with all of that. Hamill and Nelson come the closest, I think. I don't think Nelson has been so bad, really. He's gotten burned in win-loss percentage, I know. But really, the only use I have for him right now is as a SPARP. So you're talking about a very specific format where you're owning him.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Phil Hughes had a 6.43 ERA after his first four starts. The first three were particularly bad. He had a bad stretch middle of the season, too. But got off to a rough start, which is why I didn't believe any. He got off to a rough start, then he had some good stretches, you know, good starts back-to-back, whatever, and I was like, no, not buying it. And I was stupid. A lot going on in the bullpen right now. Santiago Casilla got a save yesterday at Colorado in the first of two games. And then Sergio Romo, in that first game, he pitched the eighth. But in the second game, in a tie game, Romo pitched the ninth, gave up three hits and a run in two-thirds of an inning, and took the loss. That was the first time in 16 outings that Romo allowed a run. They said they were going to divvy up the closer duties between Casilla and Romo. So what the heck is going on here?
I'm not that interested in Casilla right now just because of that situation. But I don't really trust Romo to necessarily make the most of it, even though he had pitched well prior to this. So, I mean, if I'm a Casilla owner, I don't think I'm dropping him. But I'm not going on my way to get him either.
Would you guys drop Casilla for Quackenbush?
No, because we don't know when Benoit's coming back.
Yeah. Well, a shoulder injury that he has to rest for like a week for, you know.
But still, if he's back in 2 weeks.
But they got nothing to play for.
If he's back in 2 weeks, that leaves, what, 1 week left? running out of weeks here.
I don't know. I mean, if you have to win now, like I did drop Casilla for Quackenbush, for Yesmero Petit, in a league where I can start. I'm not starting Petit this week at Colorado. But
I mean, it's sort of contingent on your situation. If it's a league where there's a couple of viable replacements on waivers, sure, yeah, that move totally makes sense. But if it's a league where saves are really scarce, and especially if it's a roto league where, you want to do well this week, but you still have the 3 weeks later to worry about, there's no way I would do that.
And Rafael Soriano, 3 innings, 7 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts over his last 3 appearances. So he's struggling. Any chance he loses his job?
No.
Yeah. Just had to ask. How about in deep leagues? You guys like Kobe Lewis, Jacob Turner, or Dilson Herrera, Mets second baseman?
I do think I maybe undersold Dilson Herrera when we talked about him on the podcast earlier. Because like you said, the minor league numbers he put up this year, particularly for a middle infielder, just crazy good. Power, speed, average, everything you could want. He's only 20 years old, and I think he's making the leap from double A, and not like a full season of double A, just like a partial season. So he's raw, but there seems to be a lot of ability there, and he's made good on it so far in the majors. I picked him up in our 24-team Dynasty League, and I would have picked him up in our 12-team in a lonely league. I think somebody else already had him. So not mixed league material, but definitely a player to watch.
Injuries, news, and notes, part two. Baltimore made some trades over the weekend. They got Kelly Johnson and Michael Amanzar from Boston for Jamile Weeks and Ivan De Jesus. And Baltimore acquired Alejandro De Aza from the White Sox for right-handed pitchers Mark Blackmar and Miguel Chalas. Anything fantasy relevant here?
The names aren't as interesting. Like, they're not, they don't sound like other words. Mm. They're not like sunburn.
That's true. That's true. So this is kind of a dud for fantasy?
I think so. I mean, it's I don't think it's good at all for De Aza's value. And a change of scenery for Weeks is kind of interesting because he's somebody who seems like should be able to help you in steals, but just hasn't had much of an opportunity in a long time. So that's something to watch.
Cincinnati traded Jonathan Broxton to Milwaukee for 2 players to be named later. Philadelphia traded John Mayberry to Toronto for infielder Gustavo Pierre.
Oh-ho.
Yeah. Daniel Hudson and Cody Ross are off the DL for the Diamondbacks. Hudson most likely going to be long or short. And Zach Walters started in left field for Cleveland against Detroit to give him outfield eligibility. And a probably like a 180 batting average at this point.
And not that's really relevant to Herrera's value, but Dilson Herrera, I think, is one game away from second base eligibility.
Yeah, already shortstop, but close to second base. Daniel Hudson. I don't think anybody, like you said, working in long relief, I don't think anybody should pick him up, but we could maybe learn something from him because he was a quality fantasy pitcher last time we saw him in the majors, coming back from one Tommy John surgery after another. And now we have this long list of pitchers who are looking at coming back from a second Tommy John surgery, such as Brandon Beachy, Chris Medlin, Jared Parker. So if Hudson pitches well, that doesn't really tell us that much. But if he pitches poorly, I would be a little concerned about those guys going into the new year.
Well, in your 24-team Dynasty League, is Daniel Hudson owned?
I don't think he is.
Excuse me for a second.
is that a guy to target in Dynasty leagues?
Well, I mean, especially look at my team. I mean, I'm basically rebuilding, and Hudson, he's a worthy flyer.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome, Al.
But, I mean, Dilson Herrera is better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do some emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Mike from a city in Michigan said, Al.
It should be Kalamazoo.
Sure. Dear Dennis, Jimmy, and Howard. So here's a hint. It's South Florida related. Dear Dennis, Jimmy, and Howard.
That sounds like Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah. Howard
football
Schnellberg.
Coaches.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
National champion.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
I am out of playoff contention in my 12-team head-to-head category auction league, and I'm looking to next year. We can keep as many players as we want. We have to add 10% to their drafted or fab price, plus an extra $5. That's expensive. So how do you feel about these players at these prices? All right. Evan Gattis at $5. Taiwan Walker at $5. Yelich at $5. Alex Wood at $5. Irvin Santana at $8. Lester at $9. And Harvey at $8.
I don't understand how if you're rounding up and adding $5, you can keep anyone for
$5. It's got to be $0 players.
But that aside.
They must have been $0.
Yeah. I like all of them but Santana.
I don't know about Walker for $5 either. Santana's the one I like the least. But the rest are great values.
Some others I'm considering. Denard Span at $5, Jason Wirth at $16, Encarnacion at $42, Cole at $20, Quintana at $5.
Cole and Quintana definitely seem a little pricey to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wirth at $16 too. Not that that's terrible value, but I wouldn't feel that compelled to keep him. And then
Span at $5 is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
We just got through calling him a must start. And
I kind of like it.
Outfielder is a must start. I don't know.
I kind of like it because I feel like if he regresses, it's not that much salary that you're stuck with. And I think he has a good chance to out earn it by a lot. I think I'd keep him.
Next email is from Bruce Wayne.
I like Encarnacion.
Really?
Yeah, Bruce Wayne, yeah.
Oh, is he on hiatus right now? Is it that 10-year period between The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises where all he did was play fantasy baseball?
Was it 10 years?
Yeah.
No kidding.
From what I remember of the movie, yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, right. Thank you for your advice and entertainment. Trying to stay ahead of the curve of my playoff matchups. I have 2, maybe 3 streaming spots available for week 24, so please help with these most likely 2-star pitchers. Leak, Kohler, Colemanter, Locke, Salazar, Stroman.
The only one, and I haven't looked at the matchups. I will be doing that tomorrow in depth. But just face value, the only one that I really would feel motivated to move on is Salazar.
What about Stroman? He had a nice bounce back start.
He did. I'd want to see what the matchups are.
There are 2 home starts, but the Cubs and the Rays at home.
Yeah, I probably get him.
Salazar has the Angels at home and Detroit on the road.
That's a little rough, but I just like him.
Kohler has 2 road starts, at Milwaukee and at Philadelphia.
Ooh, don't like that at all.
Colemanter at San Francisco, home against San Diego.
Oh,
They're not bad.
I'm not that big on Cole Mentor, but those are pretty nice matchups.
There was one more. Mike Leek. St. Louis and at Milwaukee.
Yeah, no thanks.
Mm. So who's your favorite?
My favorite's Stroman.
Yeah, I think a lot could depend on what happens next time they pitch. Like,
sure.
Stroman in particular.
Yes, especially him.
Ian from Toronto. I have the choice in a very deep keeper league of Arrieta or Lester at equal value next year. And you can keep as many years as you want. So who do you like better next year?
I do like Lester better, just simply a matter of the proven track record there. But that's not a knock against Arrieta. I would have no problem keeping him, but just not the expense of John Lester.
From Daniel, rank the following pitchers from best to worst for next week. Bauer, Nice, Locke, Stroman, Shelby Miller.
It's kind of sort of familiar.
Yeah. A lot of people want to know. Two-star pitchers to get ahead of the bell, ahead of the curve here.
All right, well,
this is an even worse list than the last one, right?
Stroman's at least a unanimous number one for us now.
Bauer has Minnesota and at Detroit. Did we already do Jeff Locke? Or no?
No, we didn't, but he was in the last list.
At Philadelphia, home against the Cubs.
Okay, not too bad. And Nice has been pretty good lately.
Nice is... Oops, sorry.
Because in a vacuum, I like him second best here.
Nice is Colorado at home and Washington at home.
Yeah, I'll go Stroman, Nice, Locke. Those two are pretty close, Nice and Locke. Stroman, Nice, Locke, Bauer, Miller.
Shelby Miller, just for fun. At Cincinnati, home against Colorado.
Yeah, at Cincinnati. It's not so good for him.
From Adam. Dear Judy, Mimi, and Bob.
Mimi?
I don't know.
I was thinking Mimi.
I think it's Mimi.
Mimi would be M-I-M-M-I.
I had a grandma Mimi.
Oh, you did? Yeah. I never met grandma Mimi. So.
I think I only know who two of these are. Because we've been given a hint by
people
the,
who have duetted with Joan Baez.
So I assume that would be Judy Collins, Bob Dylan.
I don't even know who Joan
Baez
is.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't know. I have no idea who that is.
That isn't helping.
Who's Joan Baez?
Folk singer.
All right.
But I don't know who Mimi is.
Is Javier Baez worth keeping for any reason? At what point does his power lose to his inability to make contact?
Oh, yeah. He's worth keeping for lots of reasons. He's going to hit 40 home runs next year as a middle infielder.
40?
He could.
35.
Okay. Wow. That'd be quite a year. From Anthony, 12-team 5x5 head-to-head categories league, quality starts instead of wins. I have a first-round bye this week in the playoffs, so I was thinking of snatching up a two-star pitcher today to beat the rush later in the week. The two most appealing options are Miguel Gonzalez at Boston and home against the Yankees, and Edinson Volquez at Philadelphia and home against the Cubs. But I could also go Vogelsong, Heron, or Cole Mentor.
Yeah, I'm not really that wild about Volquez or Miguel Gonzalez. So based on what we know about the matchups, I think I'd actually prefer Cole Mentor here. Cole Mentor, Volquez be my top two.
Okie dokie.
I kind of like Vogelsong.
I don't know. It looks like...
Are those home starts for Vogelsong?
I don't think Vogelsong is a two-star pitcher. At least right now he isn't.
Oh, okay. Well, that changes things.
Yeah.
I do like him just in a vacuum.
Yeah.
If I can go inside the vacuum and broadcast from there.
Thank you, guys. So we're back tomorrow. And a programming announcement. I should have done this earlier in the show. Going forward, it looks like we're only going to be on the air Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for this month. We'll do our best to help you out, read as many emails as we can, answer your questions. That's not set in stone, but it's looking that way. So apologize for the shortened schedule here for the final month of the season. Hopefully you're well on your way to a title by now. For Al Melchior and Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. We'll see you tomorrow on Fantasy Baseball Fantasy.